Have you ever felt like you were under spiritual attack? Perhaps you felt unprepared to deal with it. What if we told you what to do the next time you felt this way? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about being equipped for spiritual warfare in relation to your deeper Christian living. You know, I never thought much about spiritual warfare in my younger days. That was until I read the book, This Present Darkness by Frank E. Peretti in the early 1990s. Some of you may have read it too. I mention this book because, as a Christian novel, it depicted spiritual warfare in ways I had never imagined before, and it opened up my curiosity about spiritual warfare. I can remember praying and asking the Holy Spirit to equip me for battle. Well, in order for Him to do that, He had to first help me sense when spiritual warfare was underway. And He did just that for me. And here's an example. You know, I was living in Virginia during the time, and I can remember waking up out of a dead sleep. And I knew I was awake for a reason, and then it hit me. I sensed evil approaching me from across the bedroom. Well, I got to tell you, my heart was pounding. But because of the Holy Spirit, I knew what to do. I prayed for that evil to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, just as quickly as it had appeared, I felt evil leave the room. And I'm telling you, that was a turning point in my Christian journey, because it was at that moment that my understanding of the power of Jesus' name changed. And I knew it was important to deepen my understanding of what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. Now, the title for Peretti's book comes from Ephesians 6:12 that says, "We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, that's a powerful passage, so I'm going to do a deep dive into it a little bit later in the podcast, so hang on. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about what is spiritual warfare and how can you be ready for battle. So Tammy, tell us about your experience with spiritual warfare.
You know, I totally agree about spiritual warfare is really, it's real. It's real indeed. And I had a similar experience to what you were talking about back when, this was so long ago, back when I was pregnant with my first son, and it was in the middle of the night, and I felt this cold presence at the end of the bed, staring at me. Like, I felt watched. And I just remember praying out, Lord, I need your protection. Protect me. And this went on and on. It wasn't every night, but it was frequent enough. I mean, I started to think my house was haunted. Like, what is going on? And it wasn't an old house, but I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then shortly after my son was born, I had an incident where I was sitting in the living room, and immediately the temperature changed in front of me, and I felt a hand reach out and touch my face. And let me tell you, I about jumped 10 feet off of that thing. It's like you were talking about, my heart was pounding. I was terrified. Yeah. So I called my pastor. Okay, I'm like, he's gonna think I'm nuts. We went in to see him, and I'm crying and I'm sobbing and I'm telling him what's going on, and he was so calm and peaceful, and he just said, "Tammy, you need to be baptized." Now, at first I'm thinking, well, what kind of an answer is that, you know? And but it's true. Now, I had gotten saved at age 16, but I was now around 30 years old when I had my first son, and I had never been baptized. And what he explained to me is, you need to take a stand, Tammy. You need to take, this is an attack of the enemy, and you need to take a stand. You need to be equipped for battle. And he said that baptism is you declaring publicly, right? And also in public, not just publicly in the face of peers, but publicly in the face of the enemy, right? That you are saved and you belong to Jesus, right? So the enemy, he said, was trying to mess with me, and that I just needed that confirmation in my faith. And so I got baptized. I remember it was a small little Baptist church in Mount Airy, Maryland, kind of where we were, close to where we were living at the time. And I just remember, man, when, you know, my older son was probably, he could basically stand. He was sitting on my husband's lap, grinning. I mean, my child was grinning, watching me as a little, he was so short, you know, and as they dipped me back into the water, I had this peace that I can't explain. I went peace and I went down in the water and I come up and I felt I had power. I felt, you know, renewed. I felt confident in my faith and I went home and it was gone. I felt a new presence in the house. Like I just knew that the enemy had left. You know, I had stood my ground. I declared that I belong to Jesus publicly in the face of the enemy. And it never came back. And I learned a lot then that I had my first victory. That was my first real, you know, my spiritual warfare victory that I recall that came to my mind because I had felt afraid. And you might be feeling afraid too, having similar, you know, experiences and stuff, but we have the victory in Christ, and I came out victorious about this. And we're going to go over today. We have a lot of scriptures that we are going to share with you to help you in your battle on spiritual warfare. But before we get too much into this topic, I just want to take a moment and let you know how you can find us. So depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast with, you know, maybe you know somebody who's struggling with some of these things, and you could share this, say, hey, I heard this podcast, and let me share it with you because it might help you. Share it with people that you know. And on our website, on Wednesdays, we have early access to both video and audio. And you can join our email list. We have a form on our website. You go to our website, sign up on the form, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. So I'm going to pass it back to you, Jo Heather.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. Thanks for telling people how to stay connected and encouraging them to share, because that might be pricking your heart right now. Like, ooh, I know somebody I need to share this with. So I don't know if you're in a place where you have your Bible. I've got mine right here in front of me, and I want you to turn to Ephesians 6, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to dig deeper into what is spiritual warfare. And like I said, we learn a lot from Ephesians about this topic. So the Ephesians 6:12 passage I shared earlier is right in the middle of the section in the Ephesians letter where the Apostle Paul tells us, the readers, to put on the full armor of God. And so we're going to kind of take this in little steps. So if you have a notepad and you want to jot some things down, great. If you just want to listen and come back to it later, that's fine too. So here's what Paul writes, and I'm going to start at verse 10 of Ephesians 6. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the wiles of the devil. Now, your version, like the one in front of me, might say schemes of the devil. So we're going to pause here, and I want to look at the phrase wiles of the devil, or like I said, yours might be schemes. So in the original Greek, this phrase refers to trickery, or it means to lie in wait. And here's what's funny. My brother recently introduced my young sons to the 1950s TV series called The Rifleman. And in that Western, you see the bad guys and they're lying in wait, ready to attack the innocent passersby. So that's the mental image I get when I think about the wiles of the devil. I don't know how you imagine him, but you know, I imagine him scheming and slinking around, trying to see who he can trick. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this too. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy is the devil, and he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But I don't want you to despair when you hear me say that. The point of us talking about this today is to equip you, not to make you afraid. Fear is not of God, right? Just keep that in mind as you're listening. This is not about being afraid or despairing or anxious. It's about being equipped. So, all right, let's go back. I've got it right here. And we're going to go to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to pick up in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And yours might read with just a little bit different language than this. But this is a list of four things we are contending with when we talk about spiritual warfare. But again, Don't be afraid of this list. Just keep listening, because when you think about, oh, four things, you know, oh, okay. Here comes the part about what we're supposed to do to be prepared for battle. So in verse 13, you're going to hear an action word three times. So I want you to really listen for it. It says, therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you should have heard the word stand three times. And yes, it was a part of another word, but you've heard it three times. And so we've mentioned before in the podcast, when you see a word that's repeated in Scripture, God is saying, hey, pay attention. So the action for you to remember from this passage is to stand. Stand. You don't have to charge forward, and you don't have to turn around and run away. You just have to stand. And you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, right, Joe Heather. How do I stand? Okay, so we're going to find out more in verses 15 through 17, which walks us through more parts of the armor of God. And again, we're focusing on the action words here. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. So, let's see. This other one, it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It depends on what you're reading. What is this? Okay, it relates to your ability to stand firm in the peace that surpasses understanding, the peace that comes from God and God alone. And the word that came up for me here was also the word trust. Do I trust that God is with me? Do I have the peace? Because I feel like peace and trust for me are interwoven. I'm not sure what's coming up for you as you're hearing me say these words, but you know, maybe meditate on that, the peace. Okay, so we're going to look at verse 16. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Okay, so here's another big clue in our hunt to find out how to be prepared for spiritual warfare. You need a shield of faith to quench the flaming darts of the evil one. And you're sitting there going, what is a shield of faith? Well, the shield of the day when Paul was writing this letter was as big as a door. It would cover the warrior entirely. And that is a powerful picture. Because faith is your confidence in Jesus and in the fact that his sacrifice has made a way for you to be reconciled. And that means in a right relationship with God, the Father in heaven. And faith demonstrates your belief in God and that he has made a way for you to overcome the world. And this includes overcoming spiritual attack. So keep in mind, your shield of faith is only an effective tool when you raise it up. I want you to imagine leaving your shield on the ground. You know, it won't do you much good down there, will it? You have to raise your shield of faith to protect you from the flaming darts of the evil one. And so you're going, what are the flaming darts? Well, they could be lies, tricks, doubts, confusion, fears, temptation, lots of things. And I read a powerful commentary that explains this even further. Imagine flaming darts are worse than a regular dart, because a flaming dart doesn't just wound you on impact. The effect of the flames continue to spread. Ah, what an awful word picture I'm painting, you know. But what counteracts this is the picture in my mind of a shield the size of a door protecting me from the enemy. And Tammy, my co-host here, has an excellent description of a shield in her book, My God in Whom I Trust, A Study of Psalm 91. It's on page 25. And so I'm going to pass it back over to Tammy to read that section to us. Tammy, you take that away.
All right. Thanks, Joe Heather. And I do appreciate that deep study of Ephesians. I think that's going to help a lot of people. And I encourage them to go back and read that and study it. So in my book, My God in Whom I Trust, we're talking about trust here, right? Study mm-hmm. of Psalms 91, it talks about the shield of faith. I'm just going to read you the paragraph that Joe Heather was pointing out on page 25. And this is what came to my mind. So, can you take a moment to envision what the shield of God would look like that he places between you and danger? I imagine a huge thunder sound that shakes the earth when God's massive shield slams into the dirt in front of me, cutting off the enemy. I see myself small, like an ant, behind his great shield of faithfulness. Then I feel the peacefulness and assurance standing behind it. Wow, what could be a safer place than that? So that's what came to my mind when I was reading Psalms 91 and doing my study. Really, like we're talking about visuals here. Really trying to visualize the powerful shield that comes down. And it does. It cuts off the enemy. It comes between you and, like Joe Heather was talking about, those flaming arrows that are coming at you. So in my book, I made a lot of connections between the shield of faith in both Psalms 91 and Ephesians chapter 6, which Joe Heather was talking about. So if we take for a minute and we look at these two verses, I'll read them for you. And I'm reading from the NIV. So Ephesians 6:16 says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Now, did you notice it's called the shield of faith? That's one of the things that caught my attention when I was reading it. So let's look at the other verse in Psalms 91:4. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." So I see there's a connection between these two versions. So in Psalms 91:4, God gives you his shield of his faithfulness. That is the same shield here in Ephesians 6:16, where you are to take up the shield of faith. That it's one shield, right? So the shield is part of your armor. So whose armor is it? Well, it's God, because in Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the full armor of God." It is God's armor, and he is giving it to you. It is God's shield of faith. I just think it's beautiful that he loves us so much that he clothes us with his armor of protection. And the way that I look at it is like God saying, "Here, Tammy, take my shield as yours. My shield is the shield of faithfulness. Take it as yours. You don't need your own shield and your own strength. I'm providing you with mine."
It's so beautiful, Tammy, that word picture. You know, you guys have found out by now I'm a visual person and I need that. And if you want to take a deeper dive, we did a podcast a couple of episodes back on a deep dive into Psalm 91 and talks a little bit more about Tammy's book. If you want to check that out, I highly recommend you kind of check out that podcast, that earlier episode. But in this moment, I want to pause and share that today's sponsor spotlight is about the Mallard Creek Presbyterian Church Prayer Quilt Ministry. The purpose of the ministry is not to make and distribute quilts, but to promote prayer through the use of quilts. The quilt symbolizes a statement of faith in God and in his power to comfort, strengthen, and heal. Since the first prayer quilt was delivered in 2013, the ministry has given out over 800 quilts and nearly 300 pillowcases in 19 U.S. states, as well as Spain and Africa. As our volunteers say, it's not about the quilt. It's all about the prayers. If you want to support this important ministry or find out how to start one for your community, contact Sue Ayler by emailing csoehler@bellsouth.net. That's csoehler@bellsouth.net. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of this podcast by featuring your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. So I feel led to circle us back to Ephesians 6 because there's two more powerful weapons detailed in this chapter, and I want to make note of those today. I want you to jump down to verse 17, and that's on the next page. I need to turn here. And it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And so when I looked deeper into this verse, I learned that when a soldier is preparing for battle, the last piece of armor he puts on is his helmet. So we have to protect our brain and our thoughts every day. And we've had a few episodes that talk about renewing your mind and having the mind of Christ. So, you know, I highly recommend checking these out. It's a much deeper dive than we can do today. But this is a continual action to renew your mind. You know, you have a moment of salvation, but that moment isn't it. You don't just sit around and wait for your day to go to heaven. You know, it's a relationship with God where you lean into God's love every day. And this verse also clearly draws us back to the Word. Reading your Bible daily is a critical weapon in your arsenal in spiritual warfare. And I'm going to end this look just with the first part of verse 18 that says, pray at all times in the Spirit and with all prayer and supplication. You know, prayer is an amazing weapon in our war against spiritual attack. Just pray to God and ask Him to help you live out this transforming truth, that it's the power of the cross. It's the power of the cross that says the enemy no longer has a hold on you. You might hear the lion roaring in the distance, perhaps, but he doesn't have a hold on you. Sometimes we submit to something we're not supposed to submit to that. So here's what I do. Sometimes I pray in two specific ways when it comes to spiritual warfare. First, I thank God for building a hedge of protection high around me and my loved ones. And second, I thank Him for rendering the enemy's flaming arrows harmless. So I'm thanking Him in advance, because guess what? Christ isn't still on the cross. He's won. He's seated in heaven. And the Word says, I am as He is in this world. That means I am victorious. You know, I am victorious, just like Christ. So we've talked about quite a few ways to battle the enemy. Prayer in the name of Jesus, because the power comes from Him. Calling on the power of the Holy Spirit. Reading God's Word. And there are two other ways you can add to your list of how to combat the enemy, or even the fear of the enemy, and that is praise and worship. I mean, the enemy can't stand to hear you praising Jesus or thanking Him or singing love songs to God. He's going to cover his ears and run away at the mention of Jesus' beautiful name. So keep in mind that the enemy is a great accuser. He wants to trick you into thinking that you're defeated, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. But guess what? You are worthy. You have victory in Jesus because of His perfect sacrifice on the cross, not because of yourself. Don't ever forget that.
Amen. It's powerful words. Very powerful. Mm. And, you know, Joe Heather touched on the importance of the armor of God. Like I've already said, I encourage you to really take some time to just study that whole passage. It's just a paragraph. You know, you can cut it out and put it on your mirror and look at it every day. As you get ready, I'm putting on the armor of God today, you know, as you get dressed. And one part I know of important part of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. And that is the powerful Word of God. So let's look at a verse that describes it in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even into dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is a tool we have in warfare. But our words are also powerful. So Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what I'm trying to get at by looking at these two verses here is that when you speak the Word of God against the attacks of the enemy, you are being active in spiritual warfare. Just like He doesn't like praise, He doesn't like you speaking the Word of God either. So, and we have lots of verses to use against the enemy. Think about that. You're using the Word of God against the enemy when you speak the words out of your mouth. So I'm suggesting writing down a list of verses that you can speak out during your battles. Now, I have lists. I do studies. I have lists. So when I'm under spiritual attack, I can pick up ones on victory in Christ. I can pick up ones on, you know, battling the enemy, of, you know, the mind of Christ. I have lots of different ones I can go to, and I encourage you to make those lists. So when you feel that you're under spiritual attack, you can whip that up and say, nope, and you can read it off to the enemy, right? So I particularly like this one. This is Isaiah 54:17. and you're probably familiar with it. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, that's us, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's a powerful verse, right? Mm-hmm. And I put this into action, and I'm going to tell you how I do it. No sickness formed against me shall prosper. No lack formed against me shall prosper. No doubt formed against me shall prosper. So you can take this and apply it to your life, depending on whatever you are going through. You can take this verse and you can speak it out against the enemy. And yeah, you have to have an attitude like that when you're speaking against the enemy. You don't just quietly say, go for me. No, you speak it out with force, right? Amen. So then you can also follow it up with what God says about you, because the enemy is a liar. He's going to be telling you all kinds of things. And you have to remember what the Lord says about you, right? You are servants of the Lord. And you can go and you say, for God wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health. I am siding with God and not your lies. You speak to the enemy and you tell him no. You speak the word to him. And here's the reference for that verse if you want to go ahead and write down. It's found in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So I also, Joe Heather was talking about visuals. I have this visual that came to pretty recently when I was doing some spiritual work for myself and some things in my life. And I had this visual that I use when I'm in battle. And I pictured this tiny demon, because they're tiny, right? They're tiny. They're not as powerful as God. They have been, you know, kicked out of heaven. They're not as powerful as they used to be when they were angels. So this tiny demon trying to pry around. Can you picture? Trying to pry around the edge of the shield of God, right? And I can see him, right? And I take my sword and I start beating on him. Beating on him and smacking him like a fly, right? And speaking the word of God to him. And I see him trying to cower away from the word. This is what I believe, this is what it looks like when you speak spiritual warfare. He's like dodging the sword of the spirit as you go. And it goes, and you probably don't laugh, but it goes something like this. Get off me, you lie, deception. You have no power over me. I'm a child of the Most High King. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Get your hands off my health. Who do you think you are? You are a defeated foe. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And that is spiritual warfare. And let me tell you, and my kids are used to me going around the house speaking like this. They're just used to it by now. That's just mom. She's in spiritual battle. You know, but you have to be this way. You have to, you know, like you just stand. You don't have to do anything, but you can take that sword of the spirit and you can use it as a powerful weapon. Battling the enemy is also... And I'll just say, it is sometimes more than just speaking your words in faith. You can read this section in the text of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. I'm not going to read it, but this whole section talks about faith without works is dead. And I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. And you're thinking, what does that mean, faith without works is dead? So it applies to your spiritual warfare. And I'm going to give you some examples here and from my life where it was more than just speaking the word. I had to act on my faith. So I don't know if you've listened to some of the other podcasts where I was in a car accident in 2006 and I was almost paralyzed from the neck down. 7 herniated disc. I have a plate holding my spine in place. And I live with pain pretty much on a regular basis, and I have to overcome it. It's a continual battle, but I'm walking in healing and I'm walking in faith. And I believe one day that plate just going to plop, come right on the table. I'm like, what's that? Oh, that's my plate. I don't need it no more. You know, that's the faith that I'm having for that, right? But there are some days, and I'll be honest, where I get an intense pain. If I move a bend a certain way, I'll feel literally like somebody's sticking a knife in my back. It's a paralyzing pain where you can't move, right? And so I used to, oh, my poor back. I better go lay down. I better put a heating pad on. I better do something. I'd be in bed for days. And then now I'm like, after listening to like Andrew Womack and some other people, I see how they're walking in that faith. I'm like, no, it has to be immediate. I have to deal with that attack that comes immediately, as soon as it comes. And so what it'll do is if I get stuck, I immediately force my back upright. And then I say, no, in the name of Jesus, no, get off of me, pain. Get out of my flesh, right? I am already healed. You are a liar. Jesus paid for this. I cast out pain from my body. And at the same time, I'm going, and I'm bending ever, and I'm bending, and I'm forcing my back to move as I'm speaking until the pain goes. And I would tell you, it can be quick sometimes. Within a minute or two, the pain has left. And sometimes I might have to continue to walk with it. But I am persistent. I am not going to receive that weapon. And I have seen a dramatic increase in my health by battling the enemy immediately when it comes. Because that's not right. That's definitely, I see that as an attack of the enemy. And then I also had an episode, this is a funny story, but about a month ago, over a month ago, we were taking Jim Bob on a walk, and they have a road, and there's some dirt roads. We had come back onto the main road, and there was a car coming. So I'm like, okay, there's a little area of grass. I better get Jim Bob out. He's got a harness on him because he likes to pull. So I picked him up and put him on the grass. And when I looked down, I put him on top of a snake. There was a snake slithering between his legs. And so I freaked out. And so I immediately jumped and I landed just on all the weight of us on my left side. And I felt a pop of pain in my hip. And the first thought was, well, this could be bad. This could be bad. And then I'm like, okay, what do I do? Right. And immediately, well, you reject it, Tammy. So I started, I started saying nope in the name of Jesus. So I started speaking off and everything else. And I made myself walk. Now, my son was way ahead of me. I was walking. I'm going to walk on this pain. And that's what you do. You say, no, I'm not receiving this, And at one point, my son turned around and said, Mom, you're limping. So I'm like, you're right. I'm favoring it. So I made myself walk without a limp, which was excruciating pain. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And I would just walk on it and walk. And if that wasn't enough, right? We came to an area of the road where there was glass all over the road, all over the glass. So I had to carry Jim Bob. I had to bend down and pick my dog up. I'm like, are you kidding me, Lord? So I had to pick up and carry Jim Bob. And we had a ways to go till we got back to the car. But when I got back to the car, I would tell you that 90% of the pain was gone. Now, I have had incidents before then where it tries to re-injure it, and every time it's like, no, I'm not receiving you. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not getting x-ray. I'm not having surgery. No, 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 in the name of Jesus. And the pain is almost completely gone, but I hit it right away. I stayed on top of it. And this is how faith that works, is that I had faith that I was healed, and I was going to walk. If I'm healed, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk on that pain. So my point here is that sometimes your words are faith during these battles, but you have to take action. And I get this from, you're probably, where you get this from, Tammy. Well, here I'm going to tell you. In James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen. Amen, Tammy. Thank you for sharing those powerful. And I know we were laughing at the imagery of the devil, but I love that, just like bang, 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 God's word on that. And of course, we want our listeners to know, you have to walk forward with the Lord leading you. We're not saying you can't ever go to the doctor or that doesn't show faith. That is not what we say on this podcast. But if the Lord is saying, no, I've got you, then you listen to that. And if he's saying go to the doctor, then you listen to that. And, he's going to guide you what you're supposed to be doing. We always know this because that's what we're always telling you. It is an intimate relationship with God, right? It's not what I say that matters or what Tammy says that matters. The whole point of our podcast here is to reflect God to you. And to give you some tools and tips to equip you for a life filled with love and encouragement. We're here to encourage you and to lavish love on you. So there is no condemnation here. We've all, had things that have happened. This is a learning, and we're sharing learnings, and we're sharing what we're learning from the Bible. And we encourage you to do your own walk. This is about your walk. And to use inspiration. Accounts like Tammy's of battling that back. What a story of inspiration. And maybe that's just the story you needed to hear today to help you get out of bed and to go, wait a minute, am I in bed because I'm under spiritual attack? Is this feeling that I'm feeling spiritual and not actually physical? Is the enemy tricking me here? Is he lying in wait and has shot me down? Well, that's okay. Well, if the Lord says, get up, get out of that bed, girl, get out, gentlemen, get out and start walking. And, that walk, we were talking about spiritual warfare and standing. And sometimes, just like Tammy said, she had to walk. She was walking and saying in the name of Jesus, no, this is not what, I'm meant to be in the midst of right now. So, you know, intimate relationship between you and the Lord, and man, has it been interesting talking about spiritual warfare today. And I want to say this. You actually don't have to spend a lot of time focusing on the enemy. That's not who we're about and what we're about. That's just something we're equipping you with for today. It's because of Christ's death on the cross that the enemy has been defeated. And that you, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become a new creation in Christ. And when that happens, you have full victory in Jesus. So your job is just to keep your eyes on Him no matter what. No matter what, keep your eyes on Christ. And with that, I'm going to give you a challenge question of the week. And I want you to really think about this. How can you remember that you already have victory when spiritual attacks come your way?
Mm-hmm. Amen, Joe Heather. Very, very true. And we do have victory in Christ, right? And I'm going to give you three verses. We've given you a lot of verses, but this is another one you can write down. These are three victory verses I like to use that I keep on hand to remind me when I get battle weary. You can get battle weary sometimes and you're fighting something for a long time. You know, that I have the victory. I have the victory in Christ, right? So the first one is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. The second one is Romans 8:37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Woo, that's a good one. And the third one is 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me say, I really hope this has been an exciting episode to be able to bring this to you. And I really hope that we've been able to encourage you to not feel defeated, right, in times of battle, but to be strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Thank you guys for taking the time to join us today. And just as a reminder before we close, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.